It's a good thing to be here. I did turn that on too. And a part of this service. And I'm just thinking of last week and the special services that we had, the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And they were very good services. And that was a very big thing for our church to do. Just even doing it was kind of a big step in the right direction for us, that we had an event that we could invite the community to, and we had visitors come out to our church to see what we were doing. And I believe that was so want to say thank you for sure to all of you that were able to come. And I know some of you just weren't able to for different reasons, and that's all right. And thanks to all as well that made that a success, had a part in that, was praying for that, inviting people to that, just coming, the help that we were getting the parsonage ready and a number of things like that. So that was a big event, and I believe that was a God-ordained event. That was not us thinking, well, what should we do next, and coming up with some scheme or something like that. I believe God spoke and said that he wanted us to have those meetings, that he wanted us to hear those messages. And everything in me says that is just true. Ron Gorman being willing to come and just praying about it and saying, no, I think God wants me to come. And he really sought the Lord as far as what those messages should be. What does God want to say to us as a church and us as individuals, us as Beulah Wesleyan Church especially? And so I believe that was a word from the Lord for us each of those three nights. And I realize some of you were here all three nights. Some of you, didn't make it. And that's all right, but we need to consider that and not just put that on the shelf. And the challenge then is okay, if God spoke to us, if God had a word for us, what do we do with that? How do we apply it? How do we follow through on those things? And not, oh, those were good services. It was really good attendance there. It was nice to have visitors here. It was nice to hear from the Lord. And sometimes then, you know, that was all good. I enjoyed those were challenging services. I left, I think, every one of them thinking, I've got things to think about. But sometimes those things that God is telling us that we need to think about just kind of get put on the back shelf. Time does not stand still. And so new things are happening, life goes on and stuff like that. So basically, just what I want to do this morning is to kind of remind us of what we heard last week and in those services. And for some of you, realizing it's going to be the first time you hear that. And again, this is what God wants us to know. This is we've been asking, what's the future? What's the direction for this church? Where does he want us to go? And I believe these were the beginnings of those answers. So this is kind of going to be a reminder sermon of what we heard last week. And isn't that what every sermon is? It's a reminder of what God has already said to us. There's not new material being printed for that. It's here's what God's word said. Here's God's message to us. And then how are we going to apply it? What are we going to do with it? Are we just going to say, oh, that was a really good message? And what time does a football game start? Or what time was that?
Noon.
Okay. Well, I'm on the deadline then. And who's playing today? Oh, really? Huh. I thought they played last week. Anyways, so let's just to look at this. And again, this idea, let us run our race. And there is a race to run. God has called us to something. We are not just standing still. We're not just biding our time. We're not just got nothing else to do, so let's go to church. You know, I like the music and things like that. There's a plan and a purpose. And a race has a finish line. And a race has a winner. A race has a reward and a prize at the end of it that's worth running, that's worth training for, worth putting the effort into that. And there is a time when the race ends. It's over with. Too late. Wait. Let me catch up. I'm sorry. There's going to be a time when God says, time is up. You've had your opportunity to run this race. You've had your opportunity to do these things. And boy, just that thought, my brother that died, we've been talking about spiritual things and talking about scripture with him and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, his time was up. And I can't have another conversation with him. I don't know, where exactly he stood with the Lord. And that's the case with all of us, and that's not kind of a threatening thing or stuff like that, but there is a finish. There is a time for these races. Got to be at the right place at the right time. So let's just look at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. This was kind of just the foundational part of the theme, the message that God gave our church. Let us run our race. And it says this here in the context of that. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Boy, there's a whole message just right in there. I could preach till the 1 o'clock was the game or noon. I could preach till either of those just on this scripture, I think. There is a race to be run, and we need to focus on that, to be diligent on that. And it's the only one that really, really counts. And there is a prize to be won. There's a finish there. In 1 Corinthians 9:24 just says this, run in such a way that you may win. We're not necessarily handing out participation trophies. Good, you were in church this morning. You get the award. No, the church is just kind of the training, is just the encouragement to live your life 7 days a week, 24 hours a day for the Lord and for his calling. There is that race to do that, and we need to be intentional about this. We need to be organized. And back in the Hebrews verse again, let us also lay aside every encumbrance in the race that's in the sin that so easily entangles us. If I'm going out for a race, I'm not packing my suitcase, right? I got to take all this stuff, all of these things with me. I got 4 or 5 coats. I don't know what the weather is going to be. I'm not going to do very good in the race if I've got all of that. I got to be ready for this race. I got to be trained for this race. And certainly don't want sin entangling us with that. And it went on to say that Jesus is our example. And he always is in everything. That's why he came, to set that example, to show us the way, and also to be the way. Our hope is always in him. It's not the work we do near as much as the work that he does for us that allows us then that freedom and that power to serve him and to run the race with him and for him. He laid down his life, endured the cross, despising the shame, that he could sit at the right hand of God. And again, there is a prize to be won. There's a reward for living this Christian life. Not an easy life, not always a popular life, but there is a reward for that. And again, it's Jesus at the right hand of God. And someday we will come into his presence. And it will either be, depart from me, I never knew you, or well done, good and faithful servant. You ran the race well. You won. You finished. You did what was required of you. And at that point, that's the only thing. Everything else in this world pales in comparison to that. An eternity with this living God that we've worshipped and talked about how holy he is. And he welcomes us into that holy presence. So there were three messages that I think the Lord had for us. And the first one, Reverend Gorman entitled Living Christian in a Non-Christian World. And the idea was, is we need to know who we are and where we are if we're going to run this race. And the fact is that this is a non-Christian world. And even in our culture, becoming more and more non-Christian day by day as we hear those things, see those things, the news and such things. It's a hostile world. And the song that always haunts me, A Charge to Keep I Have, we don't sing it because it's one of those songs that really puts the screws to you. One of the lines in there is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? This world is not necessarily our friend. It is always trying to pull us the wrong way. We live in this material world, and part of the struggle is we can't see God, right? We can see all the things around us, and even in our relationships, we can see each other, we can talk to each other, we can relate to each other. But God is just kind of out there, and that's really hard to sit still and say, God, would you talk to me? Can I have a conversation with you? And to hear his voice, to know his presence. That's a struggle when everything around us is so busy and so our lives are so filled with so much noise and so much activity. How do we hear that still, quiet voice of God? And yet that's the only voice that really matters in this world. So James 4, going to just go through the scripture rather quickly here on these things. Again, these are the reminders of kind of this. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. We are called to be different. We are not called just to fit in. We are not just called to enjoy life as we know it here in America, which is a very abundant life, and that's part of the problem. Our goal is not to fit into this world. This world is not helping us grow to God's kingdom or bring God's kingdom or live in God's kingdom. And yet there is the struggle of that. Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And yet in reality, we were created to have friends. We were created with a need to belong, a need to be accepted. And so, is it, you know, we want to get along. We want to be friends. We want to be well thought of. We want to have positive relationships. We need to have positive relationships with people. And yet here, friend of the world is an enemy of God. So, boy, there's a struggle living that out, isn't there? How do I get along with my neighbors? How do I get along with the people at work and things like that if they're going one direction and I'm going a different direction in my life? That's a hard thing. And I think that's where the church becomes so important. The importance of the body of Christ, because this is a place where we do belong. This is a place where we are accepted and where we accept everybody that comes in here, not finding fault with them, but blessed and where we can be loved and where we can fit in. where we can be with the like-minded people, where we get that. Tells us in Hebrews, this isn't a scripture, but to don't forsake your assembling together, but to come together to encourage one another in love and good deeds. Isn't that where we need to come together for that? In that, and so the body of Christ becomes so important in our relationships that we're building here. We need to be honest and we need to be transparent with each other as we come. Not just, good to see you, shake hands and things like that, but what's really going on in our lives? This whole idea, again, that we have talked about a year or so ago, but we can't forget, relationships are what bring us joy. Honest relationships. Somebody that smiles when they see you and are really glad to see you, where they, you really are accepted, where you really belong, we have that. And that has to be found in the body of Christ. And that's what brings us real joy and real fulfillment. It's not those shallow relationships of the world. Oh, how you doing? How did this go? Oh, the weather's great, isn't it? And stuff like that. But we can really be honest with each other and work with each other on those things. And that brings us joy. And joy is the gasoline of our life, we learned. Joy is what gives us power. Joy is what gets us out of bed. Joy is what keeps us going in this race. And keep going and stuff like that, because I'm not running alone. I've got the friends. I've got the people that are running this race too, even in these difficult things. Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Again, our goal is not just to fit into this world and everything that it has to offer. None of that lasts. It's all temporary. It's all deceptive. I've been struck by that more and more. You know, one of my hobbies, one of my things is fixing my house. I've been working on that house for 25 years now, and that's the reason why I can't move into the parsonage, because I'm not done with my house yet. And I don't want to move into a house that somebody else fixed up really, really, really nice, when I can fix up my own house. But in all of that time and all of that, there's a sense of none of that's going to last. That at some point, somebody else is probably going to move into that house. And they're going to think, boy, that guy was really, put it kindly, quirky. Look at some of the things. What was he thinking? I don't want a skylight in the middle of my bedroom. What if something's flying over with a drone? And all of that. But ultimately, there's been families that have lived in my house before me. And there will be families that maybe live in this house after me. And all of this that I'm doing, it's just temporary. It's healthy. It's good for me. Nothing wrong with that, but it's not lasting. And there's going to be a day when it comes when the bulldozer is going to come and wipe that house out. And everything in this world, all the monuments, all the great things like that are all going to pass away. Going on, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can't just get rid of, don't be a friend of the world and get everything negative out of there and just live in isolation. You've got to replace it with something worthwhile, something good. The media, the music, our friends, all of those things are of the world are always pulling us, pushing us the wrong way, the wrong influences, telling us lies, deceiving us. That these things are the things to chase. We need to balance those things out with the things of God. And that's not to say you can't never watch TV, you can never watch the Packer game, you can never work on your house and things like that, but there's got to be that balance. And there's that place where God is so rich and full in time with him, a half hour with God can balance maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 hours of the world. And you'll find if you have that time with God that it is so rich and so fulfilling that all of a sudden it's going to start replacing the things of the world. I want to be in God's presence. I want to hear his voice. I want to have real and honest relationships with the people around me as we share Christ with each other. encouraging one another to love and good deeds. Let's keep moving here. The second message that he had, failure is not fatal, nor is it final. And I take that our weakness is his strength. And it's not just failure. It's not, boy, I've just talked, he talked about Peter denying Christ three times. Well, maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never fallen on your face. You know, maybe you're just kind of even keel going about life, and it's been pretty good to you. Been some hard times, but you've handled them pretty good. And that's not the only thing that keeps us from God. And it's, I just remember this or this thought. Who is God looking for? God is picking a team. And I go back, talked about this before. I was pretty uncoordinated. I was pretty small and stuff like that. Picking teams in high school and grade school was never a good thing for me. And it felt good when somebody picked me when I wasn't the last one standing. And every now and then, I'm afraid I was. Okay. Well, I guess we got to have you on our team. Could you kind of stand off to the side? But God is picking teams, and he's looking for who to be there. He's drawing us much more than we're volunteering for him. And he's not looking for the strong. He's not looking at our ability, our strength, our wisdom. It's never enough. God says, without me, you can do nothing. We've talked about that, right? He's not looking for our strength. 1 Corinthians 1:26-29, a big verse here, but just the highlighted. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. The end of that, so that no man may boast before God. God is not looking at how great we are, the great things that we can do. He's looking for somebody simple enough, weak enough, that he can do great things for us. It's not how great I am. It's how great God is. It's not how powerful, wise, strong my abilities. It's because those are going to get in the way of God. Oh, I can help. Let me. And sometimes your kids, oh, Dad, I can help. I can do that. No, I'll do better. You sit and watch. And better for the parents to say, yeah, you help me, but you'll get in my way, slow me down, but I'm glad to have you take the time to do that. Anyways, 2 Corinthians 12, those verses, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. What God is looking for is our humility, our brokenness, our willingness to give him the little bit, the little things that we have. Let's go on to the third sermon. And this was the Sunday. More of you maybe heard that. Say yes to the call, I think, was his. And my take on that is don't limit God. Everyone has a say yes to the call. Moses, again, the whole story, kind of out in the wilderness, didn't think God had a place for him anymore, but God had a place for him. We all have a part. We all have a place. God wants to call each one of us, wants us to grow into maturity, to Christ-likeness. We know these verses, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Luke 1:37-45. This is the Christmas story we're going to be getting to here. The beginning of this is the angel shows up to Mary and says, oh, by the way, you're going to have the Son of God. You're going to deliver that. And she said, wait a second. That's not possible. I have not known a man. And the angel said that for nothing will be impossible with God. And then Mary believes that I don't know how, it's not going to be in my strength, I can't make it happen, but God, if you say so, it can be true, it can happen. And then a little bit later there, she comes to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth recognizes, without being told, God telling her that she's pregnant, that she's carrying the Son of God. She's carrying the Savior of all mankind, bringing Jesus into the world. And Elizabeth says to her, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what has been spoken to her by the Lord. If the Lord's speaking to you, if the Lord's asking you, if the Lord's got something for you to do, that's all you need to know. You know, and these two points kind of come out this way in my mind. A point two is our weakness is in his strength. We don't have the power. We don't have the ability to do anything right, anything good on ourselves. But the second half of that, this third point, is God does have the power.
Amen.
God can do it. Shouldn't limit him by what we believe, what we think he can do. And there is God is then calling us to, just to have believed, to have faith, what God has called you to, what he's promised, what he has said in Scripture is just absolutely true. You can build your lives on that. It's not temporary like the world. Scripture does not change. It's written. It's eternal. Just go on with these things again. God has a purpose for our lives. And it's in our weakness, in our plainness, in our simpleness that he wants to do great things. And let's the danger is hearing those words, agreeing with them. Yeah, want our church to grow. I want to be fulfilled in my relationship with the Lord. How are we going to do that? What's the practical application of that? And the one thing I would maybe say, what one thing could you change in your life to limit the influence of the world and draw you closer to pursuing God? If you're not giving God any time basically in the day, give him 5 minutes. If you're giving him 5 minutes, if you're reading your daily devotional and going through your little prayer list and stuff like that, give him a half hour. Give him more time. Okay, what one practical thing could you do? So, and it's great for me as a preacher, listening to these messages, a God-ordained message, every Sunday or every service I left thinking, oh, these are things I've really got to think about, ponder, what am I going to do? But then, how do they get applied to my life? Well, let me tell you a story. As most of you know, a couple month and a half ago or something like that, I was invited to go on a mission trip over to Egypt in February. And stuff like that, waffled on it. Some ways it'd be fun, it'd be neat. A lot of work, a lot of preparation. And deadline was November 1st. At least the first deadline as far as was I going to be a part of this trip or not? And this applies so well to this message. What did I decide? If you were here Wednesday at prayer meeting, I made the announcement. Well, I've decided I'm not going to go on the trip. It's too much work. I don't have the time. I don't have the ability. It's not just packing your suitcase and going to Egypt. They're starting meetings already. There's a lot to get ready. There's a lot to prepare for. You know what? I've got plenty to do here. I'm a pastor of a church. My to-do list never runs out. I don't have time. And this is a really, they're talking spiritual warfare. They're going into a dark place, deliverances and things like that. I'm not qualified for that kind of stuff. I can talk to you normal people, but I don't want to go to another country that's a whole other thing. And so, I'm just not going to go. And, you know, I was really happy. It was really comfortable in that decision. Huh. I can justify that. I can feel good about, oh, no. You know, they've got plenty of other people going on this team. They don't need me. They're not desperate. I'd be the bottom of the barrel anyways, you know. They want me tagging along. I'm not qualified. And, you know, that was all true. I could justify all of that. But how do you apply these messages that we heard? And I wasn't really thinking about that at the time very much. But come Friday, the last day of October, when the deadline is there, I'm sitting at home. I am struggling with what the message is supposed to be today. I've been just struggling in my life, and it just seems like God is not close. I'm reaching out to God, but He doesn't seem to be reaching out to me or speaking to me very much. What could be the problem? What could be the hang-up in all of this, you know? God, I'm trying really hard. I'm doing this stuff, and there's just this silence. And then it starts to dawn on me. And for the last 3-4 days after I made that decision on Tuesday or Wednesday, I was thinking, oh, I've got to email the people that invited me, the directors of this that are running this thing, and let them know, sorry, I just don't feel God's calling me. You know, I don't have the time, don't have the energy to do that. I got to say no to this one. But I could never write that email. You know, it was always, well, maybe I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe I'll do that and stuff like that. So I'm praying about that. God's starting to speak to me about that. And who calls? Missionary Jim. I wanted to line up things for this weekend, and we talk a little bit. And at the end of the conversation, I say, hey, Missionary Jim. I didn't call him that. What do you think about going to Egypt? Me going to Egypt. And he says, oh, I think you should go. Thanks. I was pretty comfortable in my old decision. Okay, God, you're trying to tell me something here? And so there's that place then of just, no, I'm not adequate. I've got plenty of other things to do. But if God has invited me, if God has asked me to go to Egypt, I did send an email to the team leaders 2 hours before the deadline, about 10 o'clock. They're over in Lebanon right now, so it was already past the deadline for them, but they gave me grace and said, no, I think I want to be a part of this team. I think God wants me to go to Egypt. You know, I had been sitting there struggling with this message. And probably within a half hour, 45 minutes of making that decision and doing that, I had this message. God told me what He wanted me to talk about. Remind them of what God has spoken to us, and how are we going to respond? What are we going to do? And so first Zoom meeting was yesterday morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, meeting with the team and to come together. And I'm excited about that trip at this point in time. God is going to have good things. Leadership team, we're going to have to talk about at the meeting some of the obligations and that the training that's involved, the weeks that I'll be gone and stuff like that. But what a neat opportunity. You're going to hear more about that, I think, in the days ahead. I don't know why I'm going. I still feel like the least of them on the team. But God has said, would you go? And not only is He going to do something in Egypt, there are going to be 100 people at this camp, young people, college-age kids that want to be discipled, that want to grow in Christ, that are there, hunger for that in a society, in a culture that does not in any way encourage them in that. And they're going to be there hungry, wanting to know, wanting to find the victory, wanting to find the peace, the strength to live for Christ. And I get to go and encourage them to do that. But you know who's going to grow a lot more than they are? It's going to be me. And just with that thought, I'm going on a mission trip, apparently, God willing, but so are you. Because one of the things they tell us, the real key, the real secret to doing anything, any place, is the prayer support behind that. That you might be sending me or giving me the permission to go, but the real success, the real key, the real victory of overcoming the darkness, overcoming the enemy, is going to be the people that are praying, the people that are supporting that. So start today. God is calling us. What does he have for us at church? He wants to send out a missionary, as well as welcome in a missionary that's coming on Monday here. There's a call out there. There's a world that's desperate for the gospel, and we need to be ready wherever that is to answer that call when God asks us. Now, let me just wrap up with this. I don't think it'd be great sometime for more of you to go on an experience like that around the world to have that message. But if you're going to run a race, and it's a run with endurance, it's a long-distance race, you're not going to run. I'm not expecting you to run out and run the marathon today. Or even, you know, a mile or something like that if you haven't been running. The idea is God is working with you. God is starting, calling you, and it might just be training. It might just be, again, that 5 minutes, that 20 minutes a day. Might be going to the store and buying some running shoes in a sense of that, of God. I need to be in a Bible study. I need to be ready to run this race. I need to start training and practicing to do that. So when the time comes that I can run, that I can serve the Lord. And in praying and in studying, you are doing what God has called you to do right now, preparing for those things, growing in the Lord, giving him time. So we do have Sunday afternoon questions. You can listen to the ball game on the way home from there. It's on the radio, I think, as well. I'm giving you a hard time. It's all your fault, Mary. She's got her head down. And the first is not up here. The first one, again, was that first question I've already asked. What one thing could you change that would limit the influence of the world and would give you time to pursue God? What's one thing you could change? Sunday afternoon questions from earlier. What is your biggest struggle living in this world? Where is the pressure? Where is the strain? Where is the difficulties of this world? And how would God like to help you with those things? And then what do you have to offer God? Not much. We sing a song, and we've been singing it. Then tonight we did it one night at the special services. What do I have to offer? And the answer is really nothing except to say thank you and to praise you, to worship you. You are worthy, God. You're worthy of my time. Let me give you just my time. Let me just give you thanks for everything you have done for me. Let me just worship you as worthy. You start doing that, boy, he'll open up the gates of heaven for you and show you mighty things and good things. It's not your skill, it's not your talent, it's not your wisdom that God's looking for. He's looking for your open heart. Amen. And then, in what ways do you limit God? No, I couldn't do that. God couldn't do that. This church couldn't grow. I couldn't be a witness. I couldn't make a difference in this world. I'm not good enough. I'm not important enough. You don't know my past. You don't know how afraid I am to talk to people. All of those kind of things. What way to win? God, it's not our power, but God is all powerful. God is going to win. And God is waiting at that finish line to give us a prize, a reward. Well done. You've ran the race well. Might not be big in the world's eyes what you have done, but you can make a difference in this world. You can make a difference for God's kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, this time. Oh, Lord, that you have mercy, that you have called and chosen us more than us. We can be pretty reluctant volunteers. It's easier to stay home. It's easier to do nothing. I'm not qualified for all of those things, and yet you look at us and say, but you're a beloved child of mine. I sent my son to die for you. And I just want you. Just want the time. I just want you to draw close to me. Just want you to believe in me. To seek me. Seek me first, and I will meet all of your other needs. So, Lord God, we hear your word, give us the courage now to answer that. Lord, give us no peace if we are not following you, if we're not in the center of your will. Lord, I don't want to be here preaching when you want me over in Egypt. I don't want to be living that hollow thing of pretending I'm doing your will when you've asked me to do something else. So Lord, give me the courage, give me the strength to fulfill that, to answer that call, and the work here as well. Lord, that we would be your church and we would fulfill your mission in this community, in this time, and in our lives. And Lord, that it would all be for your honor and glory. We pray this then in Jesus' name. Amen. And love to see you all Monday night. Let me know if you're coming.